In the stock market, anything that appears to be good to be true is likely to be just that. When investors buy stocks based on recent performance, they're substantially more at risk of buying high and selling low. They can get lucky once in a while, but the performance of their portfolio is likely to be far less than what it should be over time.
Welcome to the Investing with Purpose podcast, where we discuss investing for generational wealth creation and how that intersects with the purpose of your life. We're going to give actionable steps to investing from our experience buying hundreds of millions of dollars in real estate, and also hearing from other amazing entrepreneurs that use the fruits of their business to give back and make an impact. Let's get to it.
Hello, everybody, and thank you very much for tuning in to my very first podcast. My name is Chris Krauser, and I'm the Director of Investor Success and Strategic Partnerships at Integrity Holdings Group. Today, I wanted to review the reasons why I left a 24-year career as a certified financial planner and a certified wealth strategist in the financial services industry to take up a career in commercial real estate. And there's several reasons why I felt like now was the right time for me to make a career change. And for those of you who don't know or haven't heard the story, I met Stephen and Travis, the two owners of Integrity Holdings Group, on an airplane about 6 years ago, flying back from New Jersey to Florida. My wife and kids were always making fun of me from chatting it up with my neighbors when we fly, and this day was no exception. I sat next to Travis and Steven, and they were clearly having a good time, and they were excited about something, and I finally had to ask them, you know, what's the story? What are you guys celebrating? You know, you guys are way too happy for as early in the morning as it was. And it turns out they were flying to Orlando to see their investment in a ground-up construction project, a storage facility in Davenport, Florida. And they were just checking on it, and they were really excited about the way that their business had been moving and with the recent syndications that they've been doing. And so I told them what I did. They were really excited to hear my side of the story as well. So over the next few years, we stayed in touch, and I began investigating quite a bit into commercial real estate. Although, you know, they were very confident and very honest with the business and the struggles of the business that they were facing at the time, as well as the successes, I was skeptical. I didn't know anything about the commercial real estate market. And so after doing some homework into looking into multifamily, storage facilities, senior housing, it turns out they were extremely honest and truthful about everything they were telling me. So we kept in touch, and about a year ago or so, they approached me and they said, we want you to join the firm full time. And so after quite a bit of deliberation with my wife and my children, I found myself very excited to make a career change into the commercial real estate world after a 24-year career in financial management. And so regarding the timing of that change, it actually was somewhat strategic on my part. I mean, I will admit there's some luck there as well. But I knew at following COVID, when they lowered their interest rates to zero, the Fed lowered rates to zero to battle the COVID pandemic. I remember thinking back then, I was like, man, I've never seen this happen. I've never even heard of this happening. So sure enough, I looked into it, and you know, they had never lowered rates to zero before. It spurred an economic boom. You know, after COVID, the market was fantastic for about 2 years. The bonds did well, stocks did well, everything did well. But as I'll go into a little bit later in this podcast, what goes up will come down and vice versa in the market. And I just had a feeling that after a couple of extremely strong years, even though the economy maybe was sputtering, the market was doing very well, job numbers were good, and you know, something had to give at some point. We can't keep rates at that low for that long. So part of this move was strategically timing my way out as well from the financial markets. And so before getting on this podcast, I wrote down a list of what's happening in the world today and over the course of this year. And I wrote down the following: recession, inflation, liquidity, midterm elections, domestic and global economics, Russia-Ukraine war, energy prices, OPEC, market cycles, behavioral finance and economics, and taxes. As we know, all of these things will affect the trajectory of the stock market in one way, shape, or form. Unfortunately, most of these things are out of our control. However, I do consider behavioral finance and taxes to be somewhat in our control to some degree, and I will touch on more on that in a moment. But as it relates to stock market investing, unfortunately, as I mentioned, most of these items are definitely out of our control. However, at Integrity Holdings Group, our underwriting process takes all these things into account before purchasing a commercial real estate property. And the careful and methodical due diligence that we're taking during this process greatly mitigates a bunch, almost a lot of it, the investment risk that is associated with anything, you know, any investment. But commercial real estate, we get to address a lot of those risks up front before buying the property, which makes it far less risky down the road because you are mitigating a lot of that up front. So that was something that was very attractive to me. A lot of times in the stock market, we're putting our faith into people we don't know and analysts and different investment professionals in quotes that, you know, claim to be analysts that are predicting the future of the stock market or the future of a stock. And quite honestly, the market is dictated a lot by outside factors. It's not just as simple as, you know, finding a stock that they think is going to go forward based on the industry or based on whatever product they have. The market has a mind of its own at times. And so, you know, it's a little bit out of our control, whereas we can control much more in the commercial real estate world by addressing and stress testing and doing our due diligence on all the variables up front before making that purchase. So again, as a wealth and estate planner for my clients, nothing made me more frustrated than spending hours and hours of putting together a well-organized wealth and estate plan for an individual or family, and then agreeing upon that plan and then implementing the plan. Of course, emotions very often with investors in the open market take over, and they would reverse course after putting all that work in. And they did so under false pretenses, sometimes with a general misunderstanding of long-term investing. But again, this in a nutshell is behavioral finance and investing based on emotion, which we don't like. That's never good. Investors will agree with me over and over again that market timing is impossible. They'll say that they're not affected by the day-to-day swings in the open market or by daily news headlines. And as we know, there's tons of those these days with 24-hour news channels and the internet to look to every moment of every day. Investors will say they're long-term. They will say they don't ever need the money and can withstand the volatility as a result. They'll tell me that politics doesn't affect their investment decision-making. However, as we know, and as I know, nearly everyone gets affected by the negative news headlines and all the scare tactics that are used by news outlets to try to gain an audience's attention. So at the end of the day, after investing through a market cycle, most of these individuals severely hurt their bottom line because they're impulsive, they have human emotions, and those emotions take over sometimes at the worst possible moment. Impulsive buying and selling of these stocks in their portfolio can dramatically reduce their net investment returns. And it's very ironic because they're much as at fault as the market. They like to blame the market, but they're the ones that are just as at fault. And so investors can damage their stock market returns in a variety of different ways, not even realizing that they're the culprit. And there are four major themes here and mistakes that I see stock market investors make. One of those is tax efficiency. So tax efficiency does not mean you can, in the stock market, doesn't mean you can make all the money by virtue of growing that money and then not pay taxes on it at some point in the future. It does not mean that. In reality, tax efficiency in the stock market really only occurs when an investor has the ability to tax loss harvest. And that ability is predicated on one factor. Your portfolio has to be down in value, often substantially down. And the investor will then sell those assets while the values are down to capture losses for tax purposes. To reinvest in the same stocks, if they want those same stocks, they can do that, but they can only do so after they wait out of the market for 31 days. Otherwise, they lose the ability to use that tax loss for tax purposes. So they have to wait out of the market for 31 days before buying back in, or they have to buy substantially unequal investments if they don't want to wait that 31 days in order to use that tax loss. So that's number one. Number two, risk aversion. Risk aversion is when an investor starts out in the right allocation of investments from the start, but they gradually get less risky with their investments over time. And this is due to emotions, right? They get emotional, they make changes, they get less risky. And as a result, they start out with one allocation, they end up with another allocation, but usually it's more conservative that they get over time. And when you get more conservative, you give up potential returns. Risk and return is directly associated with each other in the stock market. And as emotional investors do, they get more conservative and they lose the potential to make the returns they're looking for because their portfolio just can't produce those types of returns in being that conservative. So that's number two. Number three, rearview rear view mirror investing. Rear view mirror investing is really individuals that are making investment choices in their portfolio based on asset classes or stocks or funds that outperformed their peers over the last year. And these investors are doing so without considering the market cycle. They're just blindly putting money into the best performing funds or stocks of the prior year. Again, all outperforming stocks and funds eventually drop in price, and all underperforming stocks and funds eventually will gain in value. Again, I say all, not all. Obviously, some stocks right now, we're looking at Twitter, potentially going under. You know, some that are just poorly managed or bad accounting practices, they will fall off and maybe go belly up. But in general, the masses, the ones that are outperforming go down at some point, and the ones that are underperforming go up at some point. And this process is called reversion to the mean or reversion to the average. As investors buy into the market on what has outperformed over the last year, they often see those stocks suddenly dropping in value. And when they see this drop, the investors get frustrated and they sell out after the prices have fallen. Again, that reversion of the mean is a very important factor and very important distinction with stock market investing. You have to know that that's going to happen at some point. So all stocks that go up will eventually come back down, and the majority of stocks that go down will eventually go back up. Nothing in the stock market goes up forever. That's just common knowledge. So in the stock market, anything that appears to be good, too good to be true, is likely to be just that. When investors buy stocks based on recent performance, they're substantially more at risk of buying high and selling low. They can get lucky once in a while, but the performance of their portfolio is likely to be far less than what it should be over time by making those ill-timed purchases based on prior performance. Again, recent performance. It's recency bias. So number four, investors who are never happy regardless of the market conditions. And I deal with this a lot, or at least I did deal with this a lot. Investors that they just simply are not happy with their portfolio no matter what is happening. So the markets are up and their performance of their portfolio is up, but they think they should be up more. And as a result, they want to sell out of the market or out of their investments. Then conversely, the markets are down, their investments are down accordingly, but they think that they shouldn't be down. The investors think that their portfolio is impervious to a down market, which is, again, irrational and emotional, but I get it a lot. And again, they want to sell. So then the markets are sideways, their portfolio is sideways, which you should, seems to be common sense. If portfolio is not, if you're diversified and you're in the market, you might be up a little bit or down a little bit on a sideways market, but nothing dramatic. However, the investors, they think they should be up regardless of a sideways market, and they want to sell. And again, it's a very common type of investor. They don't have investment discipline, and they're driven by emotion, which definitely does not work well over time. All these things can cause investors to hurt themselves from a long-term performance standpoint. Not only that, they also cause angst and frustration in their lives, their families' lives, and the lives of their wealth and estate planning teams. And again, I was on that side, so I know how frustrating it can be. So before I go any further, just curious, I want everyone to ask themselves, does this sound familiar to anybody? Like, does this sound familiar to you or to a spouse or a family member or a friend or a neighbor, a coworker? I'm willing to bet that all of us know someone, if it's not themselves, that's this type of investor. Again, maybe you're that type of investor. And so all the more reason to learn more about what we do here at Integrity Holdings Group, learn more about commercial real estate and what type of commercial real estate provides consistent, somewhat conservative returns over time. So commercial real estate doesn't have a publicly traded market. So investors can't react emotionally on their feelings on a day-to-day basis, which is a good thing. That's not a bad thing. It doesn't come with news headlines every day. People are not reporting on the Today Show in the morning what's going on day-to-day in the commercial real estate world. Again, I see this as a good thing because it keeps people's emotions in check. When you see the markets every day, you see your stocks every day going up and down, it can spur emotion, it can cause emotion, and it causes you to make the wrong decisions at the wrong times. Investors don't get the luxury of acting on emotion when it comes to commercial real estate. Our portfolio, our fund, because we have the IHG Opportunity Fund, we produce a very strong 6% cash flow based on the investor's investment value. It's paid out monthly. And we have an amazing tax benefit that very oftentimes, almost always comes with it on a year-over-year basis while during the investment period. In addition to that 6% cash flow, you also, our portfolio provides a 6% annual accrual on your investment. So again, 6% cash flow on your investment, 6% accruals inside the investment on top of your principal. And historically, that has been our payouts to our investors in the commercial real estate world and with our syndications and now with our fund. Now that we have this fund, there's even more ability to earn additional capital on your investment. And again, it's through the form of promote or excess distributable capital. And that's attained in the back end of the investment period when we sell properties. If we sell them at a gain, a portion of those gains flow down to the investors and a portion comes back to the firm. And that's how the firm makes money and stays solvent and continues to find good, attractive properties nationwide in the growing areas of the country. Again, we're not looking at properties in the areas where people are leaving. We're looking at properties in the areas where the demographics are growing, the economies are growing, very much so in the Sunbelt states, which are Texas, Arizona, and Florida. But we do have properties in the Carolinas. We've got property up in Ohio, a growing area of Ohio. And there's other areas that we've looked into. However, it has to be something that, you know, again, is going to give us a very good sense that it will continue to grow, not just now, but into the future as well. And this is all done through the checks and balances of the underwriting process. So a couple of things about commercial real estate. It's an alternative investment that is not correlated to the stock or bond market. So that is a good thing, right? We're looking for a complement to your traditional portfolio. Commercial real estate provides that. It provides, you want non-correlated asset classes when you consider diversification amongst your investments. Diversification, that non-correlated aspect, will create a higher stability of your overall portfolio, and it'll minimize losses and maximize investment results over time. So again, non-correlated, diversification, complement, those are the three things that it does to a standard portfolio of investments. It's historically been inflation and recession resistant, and by nature, it's more of a long-term investment. So those are all good things, right? We know that inflation and interest rates are going up. We potentially are getting into a recession here, or maybe we are in a recession, depending on your viewpoint on it. But again, it's a long-term investment. It tends to do very well during those times. And that's a pleasant surprise to most people who are only in stocks and bonds right now, because those are not doing particularly well in those time periods, so of inflation and rising rates, and particularly during a recession. And before taxes, the historical annual rate of return on multifamily commercial real estate, historically speaking, is higher than the long-term averages of both the domestic and the international stock market indexes. So it's not that you're giving up returns either. You're getting more consistent returns. You're getting more stability on your returns. You're giving a good complement to your other portfolio, the rest of your portfolio. So that's one of the things that really attracted me to come over to this particular field and start my career in commercial real estate, because I think this was missing from a lot of my investors and a lot of my clients' portfolios for a long time. Historically, we did syndications. I mean, syndications is simply identifying an individual property, going through the underwriting process, making sure all the checks and balances are in place, and then moving forward with raising capital. Now, those investors only bought into that one property. So it was not diversified in any way, shape, or form. It was a single investment into a single property. Now, with the fund, all new investors are going to get the same annual returns that we provided before with syndication, but we're going to have diversification for our investors. They're going to have a variety of different properties inside that fund, and our investors will have partial ownership of each of those properties. The way that we're able to get the tax advantages is through depreciation. So a lot of the properties that we buy are really focused on, again, multifamily being probably 90-95% of what we're looking into right now and what we're underwriting. But we're looking at properties that maybe have all the bells and whistles, all the amenities of really new properties, but maybe they need to have a little updating, a little a facelift, if you will. So they need to have new washers and dryers, or they need to have a pool resurfaced, and they need to build a bigger parking lot, or they need to do things that require capital. Well, that capital can be depreciated And that depreciation creates the tax advantage for you as the investor. That's how you capture your 6% cash flow and make it very, very tax advantaged, if not tax free. So going forward, all these properties will be bought, purchased inside the private equity fund structure. The fund's name is the Integrity Holdings Group, or the IHG Opportunity Fund, providing the same returns that our syndications had produced in the past. When we're interested in a property, there's numerous checks and balances in the underwriting process that we, before we agree to move forward, we stress test a number of different assumptions, including but not limited to interest rates, inflation, occupancy rates, economic factors, and demographic outlook for the area in which the property is located. We speak with multiple banks to make sure we're getting the best possible financing terms and rates. We have information. All this information is then independently cross-checked by our institutional sponsors and operators. Sponsors and operators are an essential part of this business model in commercial real estate. So very often we are getting deals brought to us by very trusted and very institutional sponsors and operators around the country. They're bringing properties to us. They've done their due diligence. We do our due diligence. As long as the two are cross-checked and match up very well together, then we have a very good certainty that we're going to achieve success with that property in the future, and we will likely consider going forward. Again, then and only then are we going to go forward. We've had many properties brought over to us in the past by various operators and sponsors, and we did our due diligence, and it just doesn't check out. It doesn't fit the bill for what we're looking for to put into our fund. And so it's simply just a thanks and no thanks, and we move on to the next property. But again, by taking all this due diligence and doing all the underwriting process and making sure it's buttoned up, we can substantially reduce many of the underlying investment risks of commercial real estate. I hope that this review of my background in the financial services industry and why I moved to Integrity Holdings Group has been helpful. I really believe that behavioral finance, that's a big part of why I left. I feel that investors, there's too much emotion wrapped up in the traditional stock and bond market, and emotions can get investors in trouble. And in fact, they can really hurt their bottom line, not just now, but in the long-term future. And I believe that commercial real estate provides a non-correlated, non-emotional asset class that will help investors achieve what they're trying to achieve over the long term. We want them to remain unemotional. We want them to be happy and successful and content and focused on the things that matter, which, again, everyone has different priorities in their life, but friends, hobbies, families, faith, whatever it may be, that's what we want our investors focused on. And commercial real estate really provides that ability from many different angles. I encourage all of you to reach out to me anytime by phone or email. All my contact information can be found on the Teams section of Integrity Holdings Group website. I also encourage you all to sign up for the Investor Club through the website as well. The web address is www.integrityhg.com. I look forward to hearing from you soon, and have a great day, and I hope you all have a great holiday season coming up. Thank you very much.
Thanks for listening to the Investing with Purpose podcast. If you're finding value, can you please subscribe, leave us a review? And if you want to learn more, go to investingwithpurpose.org to learn more about our donor-advised fund and the charities that we support around the world.